Hi, welcome to Pod as a Woman. I'm Eli Olsberg.
I'm Teresa Lee.
Welcome back. We took a little break from reviewing the album to review the concert.
Yes, which was amazing.
Which was the greatest night of our lives.
We have to we dressed up as Ariana.
Yes, you too. You and Chelsea did. And I just...
Is it appropriating when you're appropriating an appropriator?
Cancels the appropriation out.
Okay, it's some zero sum.
Yeah, exactly. So we're back. We're almost halfway through this album.
Yeah.
And we are reviewing a song that has grown on both of us.
Sure.
Fake Smile.
Yeah, I didn't. Whoa, that's some weird noise going on in here.
Crazy.
When I first heard it, I was like, whatever. And now it's actually one of my favorites.
Ooh, I like it. It's still sitting towards the bottom of the pile, but that's that's still not a problem. That, you know what I mean? Like her eighth is still everybody else's first.
For sure. Should we introduce our guest?
Yes. Who do we have?
We have from Netflix hit show Bonding, Brendan Scannell.
Hi, how are we? I was sitting here listening.
We are good. We're very excited to have you here.
And so excited to be here.
What's your relationship with Ariana Grande? Are you a fan? Are you, do you hate her? And it's okay if you do. We actually don't know. So we're curious.
Yeah,
what
we're
do you think
right
about
in the middle.
I like have had almost the same exact journey as mass culture in the last year or so, where she was always, you know, somebody I knew of. I loved Dangerous Woman, but wasn't necessarily like a stan. And, and then kind of in the series of unfortunate events that she endured very publicly, you know, your heart goes out. And then she released two pretty fantastic albums right back to back.
I know. Yeah.
So it's, you know, whether, yeah, I'm definitely a fan now.
Did it make you go retro at all in terms of going back to her old discographies, or do you just kind of go with whatever she's putting out right now?
I'm definitely an in the moment person, listening to what's happening right now.
Okay,
like I'm aware of like her older hits,
sure,
but no deep cuts, that sort of thing.
And
I love Everyday. That's my favorite Ariana Grande song.
God, that's a
Yeah.
Oh, that's your absolute favorite.
I mean, sorry to jump if that was a
segment,
no, not at all.
Literally my favorite Ariana Grande song.
Ah.
That's a song I liked a lot when it did come out. I liked it on the album, but I will admit the video made me like it even more.
Oh yeah.
Do you remember the video?
Mm-mm.
Oh, the video.
She's on the bike, right?
No, that's Into You.
That's Into You.
No. That's Side to Side.
That's Side to Side.
No. Well, hold on. There's two different bikes.
Oh, there's a motorbike.
Well, she's on a motorcycle. You're right. But
she's on a man.
She's on a motorcycle,
right.
Being driven by a hunk.
Yeah.
Into You, and then Side to Side, she's doing the exercise bike.
She did it at the VMAs.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And then. No, Everyday is the one that cuts to different people fucking in public.
Okay.
That's the one that
Allison Stevenson is in. It. Near and dear
Iconic.
Friend.
Iconic.
Yeah.
I think I'm doing her podcast next week.
Oh, really?
I'm on a
oh
pod
my gosh.
Tour, right?
Bring
now.
It and bring it. Send some love from Pod as a Woman. And she's an alum of my other podcast as well. So just this truly is an incestuous business.
I mean, I have to admit that I'm getting asked to do a lot of podcasts right now, and literally typically on the way over to them, I'll be like, what's this one about?
Sure, yeah.
I do have a thing where I think I hit a critical mass last Monday where I had three episodes of podcasts, only one being my own, drop on the same day.
Oh, wow.
Like,
how
can I? So much to promote.
Yeah, exactly. I was like, you know what? This all has to be in one Instagram post. This has to be a multi-photo series because there's no other way to do this. Three different posts in one day.
Impossible.
About pods.
Yeah, a lot of content.
People are out here making stuff and talking about topics.
What can I say about Hollywood? People have pods, they've got thoughts. And
yeah.
Oh my God.
They're going to pontificate.
I at one point tried to make a podcast with Brianna Murphy.
Oh, I love Brianna.
Of Chicago.
Mm-hmm. So formerly of L.A.
Formerly of L.A. This is probably like 4 years ago. And we sat in my house like we're doing right now and basically just like talked shit about open micers for like an hour, and then we were like, well, nobody would ever want to listen to this.
Yeah, except for five other people in comedy who all text you, they're like, I listened to the pod, you were so right about how that person always runs the light but always asks to go first. Like, it would be so specific.
I was like, this is unreleasable. And we recorded like two episodes of it. It was called For the Thrill of It. And we were supposed to like bring in topics, and every time we would show up and we'd just be like, we didn't prepare anything. And it was bad. So I know how difficult it is what you do.
Yeah, thank you for recognizing our hardships. Thank you for respecting this art. Yeah, thank you for recognizing the hardship and the journey.
You have two, right?
Yeah, we both do.
We both have two.
This is side pod, I guess. Wow.
In a way it is. This is kind of the side pod, but it brings us as much joy, I would
say.
Sure.
Because it's more, both of our podcasts, I would venture to say, our other ones are heavier.
Truly heavy.
And
oh yeah, I did yours. Yelled at a therapist.
Oh yeah, that's right. You did the live show.
Oh yeah.
It's great.
And mine is called Closure, the Podcast That Never Ends, and anything about closure is gonna be heavy metal. You know what I mean?
Yeah. I don't even know that.
Yeah, and it depends on how you feel about closure and your relationship to things. But every time I have someone, it's like a heavy podcast. So this is like kind of like a good drug.
Yeah, this one's up.
Yeah. These are the uppers. Yeah, exactly. To borrow from another pop star about uppers and downers, if you remember the Selena Gomez song.
Mm. Oh, yes.
Can't keep my hands to myself.
you know what song of hers I love is Bad Liar?
I
missed the boat on
that,
man.
It's so good. The other day that Talking Heads song came on that it samples. You know that famous song,
yes.
Psycho Killer, I think? And I was literally like, oh, I love that Selena Gomez song.
And Fetish I kind of like, too.
Yeah.
It's got,
I actually just been listening to two of her songs, one of which kind of is, I'll admit, a guilty pleasure, but I was listening to a Selena Gomez and the Scene song, Love You Like a Love Song.
Oh.
Sure.
Here to tell you, it's still... fucking slaps.
The Scene was just the name of her band, right? It's not like a band that existed and she... That's what... I remember being confused when that came out because I was like, who is The Scene? And it was just her backup band, but they wanted to switch it up and call her like... make her more rock.
Right, exactly.
So
yeah.
And then...
And so I was listening to that. And then I was listening to... Come and Get It, which is that song is nonsense. But boy, is it good not... I mean, listening to it, I'm like...
That's the best pop music is. You're like,
truly.
What?
Yeah.
And I remember the music video and the live performance she did to that song had this whole, because it has a like an Eastern, I think like an Indian
There's
music.
Kind of that twang to it.
Yeah.
Sitar.
So she, yes. Mm-hmm. And I remember she put on like, the outfit, the whole garb, and was like sitting on a pillow with like her backup dancers. And they were just doing like very, like sort of dancey, but not quite. I'll just put it this way: if it came out now, we'd have questions.
Oh sure,
that's
you know what I mean?
Katy Perry music video. It's like, oh yeah, no, that's problematic. But then it's like so heightened. You're like, well, she must know. She's dressed as a geisha. Like,
did you watch the?
She just had
Never
the new
really
one.
Over.
Yeah,
it's fun. It's. I mean, I feel like stand for her because I did a commercial with her in 2014.
Oh yeah, we have the same birthday. So.
Oh, see there you
go. I gotta like her.
Nicole Kidman and I have the same birthday.
I have the same birthday as Paris Hilton, Michael Jordan, and the lead singer of Green Day. It's a busy day.
Huge.
Yeah. Sorry. Didn't mean to drop a flex that way, but.
I think it's me and
mad.
McLovin and Nicole Kidman. Christopher Mintz-Plasse.
Name a more iconic trio. I'll wait.
What a dinner party.
What I wanted to say also about the Katy Perry music video, the new one, I feel like she watched the trailer to that new Tarantino movie, like the Manson scenes, and was like, let's do that.
Yeah. It's very like people in caftans in fields doing unified movements. It's very Rajneesh-y.
Yeah, totally. Yeah. I guess and that's probably more where she was like, you remember Wild Wild Country, guys? She was like I'm obsessed. We just have to do something with it. Because that's always how when I hear pop stars or anybody put out an album, they've stopped referencing other artists that influence them now, and they're like making cinematic references.
Yeah.
The one that always stuck with me was, I remember for one album, The Weeknd was like, yeah, you know, I just watched a lot of John Carpenter movies. And I was like, excuse me? And I hear it, but I'm still like, that's ridiculous now that we're going with cinematic influences as pop music. But also, I guess, look at Ariana to bring it back to her first.
Yeah,
Wives
I mean,
Club.
Thank You Next was all cinematic reference.
Oh yeah,
I
mean, she'd Mean Girls.
Yeah. Did that song feel like the revolution came to you? Like a lot of people when that came out were like, I'm ready to forgive everybody.
So I actually have a story about that song.
Oh, wonderful.
I was about to do that show, Good Heroine, in
Great
Echo
show.
Park.
Great
show for all you non-Los Angeles listeners. And I hadn't done it in a while, and I had a whole set planned out, and I'm sitting in my car, and I get a text on my gay group thread, which is called Grigio Girls, and there are 12 gays on it, and I just get a text that's just the link to the song, and it's like, and it's on a Saturday, and it's like, Ariana just dropped this song right before SNL came out, mm-hmm. so it was West Coast, 8 p.m. I listened to it twice in the car, freaked out, went up to the show, got called up first, and basically just played the song through my phone for the audience. Yes. I was like, I was going to do a set, but Ariana Grande just dropped a song right before SNL, directed at Pete Davidson, and it's called Thank You Next. And three people in this audience of like 50 were like, like I could see somebody in his eyes be like, I have to leave right now. And then I just basically cut to the chorus of my phone, and I played it through the microphone. And then I was like, I don't have a set.
That's so who great. Could?
Eli texted me. I was coming out of a show, and then I stopped. I was like, I'll listen to it when I get home. And I was like, no, I'm going to stop my car and listen to it right now.
Yeah, I remember that because I was sitting at home, and it was one of the what I remember so well about that, it was right after Halloween. Mm-hmm. That particular week had a few things that happened. Carly Rae Jepsen had just put out Party for One 2 days before that.
Great song.
Beautiful song. I think that album, it grew on me so quickly. Have you listened to it yet? Sorry to side.
I have listened to it, yeah. I think there's some good ones on it.
I kind of had that same thought when I first heard it, and now I'm like fully, to appropriate the album name, dedicated. It's a good album. But like, so anyway, but that had just come out, and that is one of the best songs on there, I think.
Yeah.
And I remember I was like, oh, geez, what a fucking week. Like, holy shit. And when that came out, I was like, I listened to Party for One so much in those 2 days. I'm like, well, good. At least I'll be nourished for a month. I didn't go back to it for a month because of Thank You Next.
Because Thank You Next. Right. Just,
well, and then there was all these rumors of like, there's an album coming. Mm-hmm. We didn't even know the whole album was coming. She had just released an album.
Yeah. Right. And then I remember I text Teresa. I was like, in all caps, I'm like, new song, send her the link. I was like, oh my God, I'm just sitting there looping it like 8 times in my, you know, everybody's losing their mind on Twitter.
And it went number one, like right away.
Right away, like in 10 minutes. Yeah.
And is that her first number one?
I don't think so. I want to say
a Bang Bang or whatever.
Well, no, I think something from Sweetener something. At that point also had.
Ain't No Tears Left to Cry.
No Tears Left to Cry. Maybe. Yeah, we should. I'll check that.
I think it was her that first late? Number one.
Really? Wow.
Yeah, you might be right. It's which is crazy.
I'm gonna look it up.
Yeah, please, because I was like, yeah, I think you're right. I think other stuff she had hit like number two or number three at the highest.
And then it stayed there. She won, like broke a bunch of
records. And then when it left, it was because like Seven Rings was. Taking, you know what I mean? Like she just kept putting out songs that would like take the crown away.
I heard like all of the proceeds, not like all the profit from that song went to like Rodgers and Hammerstein.
90% of it did.
Oh, yeah, like, it was. Thank You Next.
Estate. Isn't that amazing? So funny.
Yeah, because she really
it's a
wanted
nice
it.
Check.
But, yep. And she has a song. What the song she put out, Monopoly? Have you heard that song?
Mm-mm.
Okay, so it's a song she put out with one of her songwriters, who's also a singer named Victoria Monet. You should listen to it. It's basically a 2.5 minute, kind of like a spiritual sequel to Seven Rings, where it's just both of them bragging for a few minutes. And at one point, she says, "Remember when we gave that 90%." In reference to that song.
Yeah.
So it's a flex about Seven Rings.
Well, I'm like, you kind of didn't write the song, huh?
Yeah. One other thing I wanted to say about Thank You Next. Oh, when you listened to it, do you remember the mistake?
Oh, yeah. I thought she was dating. I think she was coming out. But you know, in hindsight, she's been playing with that. So like, that may have been intentional. But when I heard her say her name is Ari.
Yeah, because
I thought it was Allie or Aubrey or something, and I was like, is she just coming out?
That she was having a bi moment.
Yeah, but then it
wasn't.
See what
you want to see, Teresa.
And I was like, well, she dated a comedian. She could date another.
Classic bi culture, just assigning it where they see.
So many women have dated comedians and then been like, women, I'm never dating a man again.
So let's go. Let's do the little breakdown of the song.
Yeah, let's talk about
one last
fakes.
Thing about that please. Carly Rae Jepsen album. My favorite song on it is Too Much.
Really?
Oh, I like I that. Yeah, much. That's a very Scorpio song.
I do, it's a good song. My
reminds
favorite...
me of Your Type, which is my favorite Carly Rae Jepsen song.
Okay, Emotion. I'll start saying like, this is my favorite song, and then remember there's another song on there.
Oh yeah,
like, that's also my favorite
Your
song.
Your Type is on B-sides.
Your Type is not on B-sides.
Oh.
It's, no, B-sides is... Your Type is near the end of the first album.
Emotion.
Yeah, that's I'm not your type. Yeah. That is towards the end of Emotion. Yeah, Close to Warm Blood.
Right.
Oof, that album. I gotta go back to that too.
I like
funniest Carly Rae Jepsen song. Store.
Yes.
Oh my god,
I'm obsessed with that song.
I'm just going to the store.
Yeah, and I. what's so there is this small through line for her stuff where they keep trying to recreate Call Me Maybe.
Yeah, I think so.
I really like You was kind of had that vibe. And I remember when Store came out, I was like, oh, that was clearly meant to be that. And do you remember right before Vine went away?
No, she wrote it for a store.
Wait, really?
Yeah, it was like a jingle for something.
Oh my god! And then like
somebody told me that, and they could have been wrong, but it was like written for something,
like a Walmart.
And then
or
it was not used, so she turned it into a pop song.
That's amazing. I love that. If that's true, that adds even more to it. And like, do you remember? This was one of the last gasps of Vine. Was that song? Was taken and people were in stores dancing to it or like doing different things with it. One was, I remember a girl standing in a shopping cart getting pushed around while she danced. Another was four girls doing choreo. Literally, I was very impressed with this. They like clearly must have had an amount of steps they took, and they kept every 2 seconds cutting to different parts of the store they were dancing in. It was like very artistic. And yeah, I'll say it.
All right. R.I.P. Vine.
I know. And then there was another one of a guy just dancing down the sidewalk, just having a fabulous time. But yeah, that's Emotion Side B.
Okay.
I am going to her concert in August at the Wiltern. Just want to say that. But paid the extra money for the upfront floor section.
Oh, yeah.
You've seen her before, Wiltern, right?
No.
Oh, really?
No, okay. I'm ready.
First time.
I had tickets to see her at Pride a couple years ago.
I went to that.
You went?
Yeah, my friend, first kiss, I guess? His first kiss from elementary school. He's straight, but she was a dancer for Carly Rae. So then we like watched from the front, which was cool. Fine. She was great. But yeah, it was, well, I don't know. I always remember thinking Carly Rae, well, we talked about the other night, but she just never quite broke into like superstardom. Like everything is like great and cool, but like just something just never hit, I think.
Her stuff's very youthful. It's like very for kids in a way.
Yeah.
It's like almost sexless.
Yes.
Yeah.
This is her deliberately, first. I think so.
Yes. Yeah.
Oh, absolutely. I think this is her first album. Now she's suddenly doing music videos where she's like in her underwear and her front, the album cover, unless it's just meant to be like a
but like Party for One is like, I'm having a PJ party for me.
For
like,
me. You know, pizza at home.
Yeah, even making love to myself sounds innocent.
You know who reminds me of, not like talent wise, but just in terms of like the tone. Like, do you remember Ashley Tisdale for a moment?
Of course. I saw her at Runyon Canyon once.
Yeah. And after High School Musical, because it was like Vanessa was like the sweet girl in High School Musical, but then like really edgy and sexy off out of the movie. But then Ashley, because she was older, I feel like they were like, you really have to tone down your sexuality, because she was older.
A woman.
Yeah.
And then I feel like Carly Rae also came out in her late 20s.
Yeah, she's older. She was 27.
And I kind of think the producers are like, you're older and we need to play down your sexuality, which is odd because with the younger ones, they're like, we need to play up your sexuality.
Well, and Katy Perry broke at 27, but her song was I Kissed a Girl, which is very sexual.
And I think also like with Carly Rae, she's definitely, I mean, she's a Scorpio.
Yeah. So is Katy though.
Interesting.
Yeah. Mm. These are, what's yours?
Gemini.
Okay. Oh, congrats. The season just ended.
I know.
Congrats.
Good one. Congrats. It was yesterday, actually.
Yeah, that's right.
We're in Cancer season now.
And we're currently
in Aries season.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah.
My last two lovers have been Cancers.
Ah, a lot of crying, a lot of soothing from your end.
So emotional.
All this emotion.
Oh, my gosh. So let's talk about the song.
All right, so we're doing Fake Smile today. Mm-hmm. But right before we give the facts to it, just if you want to give us a quick, what were your overall, do you like the song?
I like the sample of this song. I like, which I guess was also used in a Wu-Tang Clan song.
It was, yeah, very famously so.
Yeah.
It was a big, it was, I believe on their first album on Enter the 36 Chambers.
And, right.
Which was an album I was introduced to way too early. I think I was like 11 when I started listening to that.
I feel like this song is like, it's less of a like great song on the album compared to some other ones. It's very much like a narrative song for me, where it's like this whole year year and a half, she's like telling a story, you know, No Tears Left to Cry. And this one is kind of like continuing that sense where it's like referencing the disengagement, referencing the tragedy, referencing how difficult it is to be her amidst the chaos of her. Mm-hmm. I think it's fine.
Yeah, that's we were talking about this before we hit record. Like, it's Teresa saying it's not one of her favorites. When I saw it live, it grew on me a lot more, and it's a song that when I first started listening to the album, because it starts so strong, that this is the first song where it kind of it almost is like an act break. And so the song almost feels like an intermission, even though it's got some weighty themes to it.
Yeah.
Because you have Imagine, but then you go into Needy, NASA, and Bloodline, which is like the most, I've said it before and I'll say it again, that's a powerful
track. NASA was my, besides Thank You Next, but NASA was my like 100 plays song.
Yes, that's up there for me. Needy and NASA always went back to back for me.
So good.
NASA especially has like a something about it. It has that.
I'm in need space.
Yeah. Just her going, you just lose your mind over it.
But this one, I feel, you know, my first impression when I first heard it, I was like, whatever. I get it. We get you're sad. And here's another. It just felt like a Zanga post. But now.
A reference.
Zanga.
You guys remember that?
Me.
I just dated myself. It definitely grew over time. And then. Honestly, I do connect with it more, and I connect with it. And she has such a great way of like writing the lyrics where it's like, it's pop, but then it also like, she'll say things in a way where it just feels like she's saying it, you know?
Yeah.
And that to me rings more truthful. So I do find there's a lot of honesty in the song that I like.
The verses of the song. The verses are very different from the chorus. Yes. They don't feel like the same song to me. You know,
On all the woo woo woos, at first I was like, "What the fuck are you doing here?" But now I love.
I bet that's great live.
Chelsea and I. So the two of us went with. I don't know if you know Chelsea Frank. A very close friend, and she like, we were singing along to it so loud. We have like video of us going woo like that. Yeah. Like it is very good live. The whole place like was going along with it.
Yeah.
Well, because I think also the song. I mean, the album is a very, it's as in pop terms, the closest to a bare bones album as you can get in terms of like production value. Only two or three songs really have like that grandiosity that comes with pop. And this one is so low key in a way that normally I don't think we get even in like the bare minimum, those like minimalist pop songs, I guess.
Well, and in a live version, they can always beef everything up.
Yes, exactly. Yeah. And whereas like listening to it, I always just remember when I first started listening to it, when the album came out, I was like, it just sounds like a conversation with herself.
She's like writing in her diary.
Exactly. Yeah. And so, totally. That is exactly what it is. Just like your diary, another day, another whatever. You know what I mean? Like that's
another heartbreak.
Yeah. Another heartbreak. But you know what line I like when she says, "Can somebody walk me to my car?" Because I mean, it sounds to her, but it's also like, it's like she's asking for help. That's what, it's very nice because it's this moment of like, you know what? Fuck this. I know why I have to have this mind. I know I have to go to these parties. I'm not dumb. I know people rely on me.
It kind of reminds me of, sorry to interrupt you.
No.
Do you know that new Justin Bieber?
The Ed Sheeran song,
which is like basically about going to like Hollywood parties that you don't really want to be at.
Yeah.
Like that are just like a bit. Like
relatable.
You're really famous and a star, and it's sort of difficult that you have to go to these parties.
Yeah,
kind of. That's how that feels to me. Where I listen to that song and I'm like, I mean, I really like that song, and occasionally don't want to go to parties, but often it's like, well, then you don't have to go to the party.
Yeah,
yeah. Well,
I guess are you thinking about not liking the Grammys?
I feel like there's. I know what you mean with that one, because that one is a lot of like, okay, we get it. You get social anxiety. This one, I think, because of everything that's happened to her. I feel like it's also about PTSD and then trying to re-enter society and act like everything's okay. But then you might have dealt with it on your own. And as soon as like just seeing somebody happy smiling at you and be like, oh, congrats on your number one. You're immediately like, I'm so sad. And it's like that juxtaposition of knowing that there's trauma that you're dealing with while having to like smile and be grateful because you know so many people are counting on you.
Yeah, yeah, that's, well, yeah, one thing I do think about a lot in more recent terms is that idea of like famous, because it's starting to become a thing in like articles now where people are like, what is the line and at what point do celebrities really owe people? Yeah. I mean, these are questions that have
nothing.
Been asked. Exactly.
We owe you nothing.
Yeah. And like, and it's a question, I mean, look, I think that's been brought up in art since like the 60s, but in a way now, it's funny, I just rewatched, I don't know if any of you guys have ever seen this, Phantom of the Paradise. Mm-mm. Are you familiar? That is one of Brian De Palma's first films. It's a mishmash of a couple old, particularly Picture of Dorian Gray and Phantom of the Opera. And there's like a line in it. And this was a movie that was made in 74, I think. And he at one point tells this girl who's getting very famous. He's like, she's like, oh, they adore me out there. I have to get more from them. He goes, it's never going to be enough. And it's also never going to be enough for them. Huh. So, and I was like, oh my God, this movie is like 40 years later or whatever, you know, 35 years later. And we're like sitting here like, It that hasn't changed, but I wonder now, because back then you could disappear for a while. Artists did; they were known for, you know, when they went away to go work on a new album, they were just gone for a year. They didn't show up.
They didn't have social media.
Yeah, so they didn't show up for something for like just to be back in the fold. I think this, by the way, is what makes, amongst a host of other things, why people can turn sour on Drake really quick, because he, even between albums, is just dropping singles. And I think it's just to keep himself
out. He has a lot of stuff he puts out.
Yeah, he just put out two more songs today on Spotify. I was looking at my new release thing to see, because Lil Nas X put out his first EP, and I wanted to see what it was going to be like. And
who's that?
Old Town Road.
Oh, yeah. Hello.
He put out another
number one.
Yeah.
Billy Ray Cyrus's first number one.
Ever. Oh my God. Truly.
Except for maybe Achy Breaky Heart
might have been.
But I don't know if that went. That was country. That wasn't like Billboard 200.
Oh, it did. Yeah, it did transition, actually. I think that did get over there. One of the few.
That song slaps.
Yeah, it does. I think that, and by the way, he put out a song today, like one of the songs he put out is called Panini, and the lyric is just, hey, Panini, don't be a meanie.
Drake or Lil Nas?
No, Lil Nas X.
That sounds like Billy Ray Cyrus's influence.
That's
true.
Funny.
I can't wait to find out what the meaning of that is, if there even is anything to it.
He's like, talking about Vine again, he is like a product of TikTok.
Yeah.
You know, and these TikTok challenges that... I had a friend who told me that the whole, Black Beatles mannequin challenge was like completely thought up in like a, you know, record think tank.
Oh, wow.
And now when they release songs, a component of it is like, how do we create the challenge that makes this song get played a billion times?
Wow.
Yeah, because they can license it on, because TikTok used to be Musical.ly, right?
Yes.
Yeah, so they will have deals where they drop songs in that app.
Right.
Man, I feel like if I really was either, I don't know if it's a little younger or just had more time, I feel like I'd be a sensation on there. I love that.
There's
type
still
of
time.
Shit.
I just went in for something where they're trying to market it TikTok to adults. So, you know, before you know it.
Put me in this meeting. I will.
No, it was a commercial, but I guess they're trying to do a whole campaign where.
Wow.
I
remember when TikTok, but prior to that, what was the Instagram feature that they had for that?
Dub Smash?
Yeah, Dub Smash. I remember that was the like original, and I was like, oh, this is fun, but it didn't, you know, it didn't really last, because I think that just that version of it gets old really quick.
Yeah.
But TikTok, obviously, there's a lot of manipulations you can do with it. And then
there's like teens and college students just have so much time.
Yes.
Right.
I mean, I do too, but I'm on Instagram.
Sure. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. I don't know. I know. I'm the same way. I'm like, well, what filter? Or
like,
you
want me to make something?
Yeah. No. I'll tell a story on Instagram using said feature. I also last year went to VidCon to do stand-up. And
that's right, during the day.
11 a.m.
So
had clean comedy, just the two most idealistic ways to do stand up.
How was it?
It happened. You know what I mean? Like that
sounds miserable.
It actually, the only reason it was fun was two reasons. One, we were paid to be there, and that stand up can actually make you somewhat have a little perspective on even the worst situations. Mm-hmm. but also I was there with people, my friends. So like Otsko was there, Steph Tolev, Brad Gage. We had a ball. But if it wasn't for that, we were all like, let's just get this over with. We have an hour. But while we were there, we were looking at these different, like we were walking around and TikTok had a booth. Like they all had, it was just all these brands making things happen in a way that I don't even think they know what they're doing while they're there. They're like, yeah, this is a technology, but we don't know how to, you know.
I mean, you just got to have it be bought and then collect your paycheck and move on.
Yeah, that's the way to do it. Like, I don't know why anyone would want to keep something. It's like just
imagine being like year seven of TikTok and being like, okay, our growth isn't as fast as it needs to be. I'd be like, if I invented TikTok a year later, I'd be like, sell it. Bye.
Yeah. Yeah, that's smart.
And I look at like where these offices are, like, you know, like I think Snapchat's like in
Venice.
In Venice.
Yeah, they're Silicon Beach Playa. Is what they call it. Yeah.
And I drove by on Sunset in the strip. I drove past what used to be a Pete's Coffee and is now Tinder. And I'm like, what is going on in that office right now?
Oh, that's the IAC building. That's where College Humor is.
What's that?
That's the IAC building.
Yes, right there. That's where Tinder is. And I'm like, what the fuck is this doing here? Why? Other than just putting, I feel like they're like,
I bet LA is one of the biggest Tinder markets like in the world.
Yes. Yeah. And I bet that office is like, well, if you put the Tinder logo here, it'll just remind people to use it.
I'm off Tinder.
Oh, Tinder. Yeah. The apps.
I don't know if people still use it. It feels like such a punchline now. Just saying Tinder. It's just like, we met on Tinder.
Yeah, or people are just going like in a conversation like, nah, swipe left.
Yeah, you know the like, smartest thing for them to do because they've got all that IP and money is like, honestly, make a new app that's the same thing with a different name.
Yes.
Make it feel cool because Tinder doesn't sound cool anymore.
That's true.
Anyways, this isn't a podcast about apps. It's a podcast about Ariana Grande.
So we're going to go over Fake Smile now.
Sure.
So we're going to do a few breakdowns. We're going to go into like the making of the song, but then also we're going to do one of our favorite things, which is we go to genius.com, pull the lyrics and the user submitted annotations.
Ooh.
And you get some grad school level dissertations.
Oh my God,
here.
This one is funny.
It's ridiculous. So here's just...
I love when, do you have Spotify? Like when the option...
That is...
Like Ariana clearly referencing her former relationship and how difficult it is.
And the best ones for those are on like rap songs because they just write about like really... Like here, Drake is referencing sex. Things enjoyed by people around
people
the world.
Who,
so the song was... a lot of songwriters here, but mostly it's credited, I think, because of the song sample.
Mm-hmm.
The song was written by Ariana Grande, Pop Wanzel, Happy Perez, Priscilla Renea, Kennedy Lycan, Justin Tranter, and now...
Oh, I know Justin.
You do?
Yeah.
Who is Justin Tranter?
Justin Tranter's a fucking phenomenal songwriter.
Oh, okay. So
wrote Bad Liar.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
Wait, does he work in a duo?
Queer, like terrific person.
Oh, I'm thinking of a different person. There's like there's a duo that does a lot of Selena Gomez's songs and pop songs.
And my guess is here, the last two credited writers are Joseph Frierson and Mary Lou Frierson, probably the writers of the original sample.
Not a whole lot of pop couples who take each other's names and stuff now.
Oh, that's funny.
And the song was produced by Pop Wanzel and Happy Perez, who also produced Imagine and In My Head. And knowing that, it does makes In My Head and this song both have that same energy.
You know what? Because In My Head is one of my favorite songs too, and also grew on me. So I think maybe both of these, in a way, like they have a similar narrative in my head.
They do, yeah.
In My Head, no pun intended. Yeah.
And so the log line of the song essentially is on Fake Smile. Ariana discusses her dissatisfaction with life and how she refuses to put up a facade to hide her emotions, as celebrities are often forced to comply with these standards. While it was not featured as one of the main tracks teased in the music video for Breathin', in that, like, you know, where the
board,
train.
Yeah.
Breathin' is great.
Oh, such a great song. And live, holy shit.
Oh, yeah.
That is. Ariana released a snippet of the track to her Twitter on January 25th, 2019. So do you want to talk about the sample a little?
Sure. After Laughter
That song
comes
came
tears.
Out earlier this year.
The whole album,
the whole album came
out,
right. In February. Gosh. Yeah, which feels like a lifetime ago.
Right.
Yeah. Crazy. And then Sweetener just came out in like August, September?
August of last year.
Yeah.
Which is, we're barely even, we still are.
We're not even.
We're not even at,
a whole
we're
year
10
yet.
Months into Sweetener. Yeah. And 4 months into Thank You Next.
Five
Crazy.
Months.
Wow. Okay, After Laughter Comes Tears. This is a sample of Wendy Renee's 1964 song, After Laughter, parentheses, comes
which, P.S., tears. Was the name of a great Paramore album.
Wow. Who are you friends with? You've done a cruise?
I performed with them, on their cruise.
On a cruise.
Yeah, well, there was, you know, there's like band cruises.
And
yeah.
Sure.
It was one of the best experiences of my life. I'll just say that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So was it like all Paramore fans?
Yes.
That and must be fun. They play every night. Know they like it.
They played two shows. Most of the bands played 2 to 3 shows. It was Paramore, Churches, Newfound Glory,
oh, wow.
Ex-Ambassadors, Newfound Vacationer, Glory. Newfound Glory. I also opened for, also one of my favorite bands. just dropping some names here.
Yeah, and, I haven't heard that name in a minute.
And who else was on that? I feel like I'm missing one or two bands. But yeah, super fun. And everybody came to watch me, and Chris Garcia was like totally into it. It's like how, if you're going to do comedy and music, it's honestly the only way it should be done, is that that energy.
On a cruise, we can't leave, so.
Yeah, exactly.
Everyone's just down to have a good time.
You were saying, so after laughter comes
so
tears.
It's been sampled extensively in hip hop songs like the Wu-Tang Clan's December 1992 track Tears and Metro Boomin's November 2018 cut Borrowed Love. Every time I read Metro Boomin, I'm like, Metro Boomin wants some more.
And then let's see here. So first lyric, do you want to read it off?
Sure. Another night, another party, saying hi to everybody. Ariana's trying to be friendly, even though she clearly doesn't want to be at that party. In case you guys
Genius.com.
Been there.
Yeah, that is a weird thing that, like, I do think about at that level. I'm like, well, she's one of the few pop stars that's crossed over where things come to her. You know what I mean? Like she, yes, she should be at a party and she needs to be at certain places, but to what degree? You know what I mean? Like, I think about that.
I don't think she's walking through being like, hi. I feel like she just in her corner posted up.
Yeah, and people come up that she, like, lets come up, or someone famous, and they're like, hey, this person's going to come through for a minute. Because I think about that a lot in reference to, like, certain, when there are, like, Grammy parties or Oscar parties, like, the level of, I feel like it's two factions. One is, these extremely famous people have all known each other a long time, and this is just them running into each other once a year and saying we should get lunch. And and then people who are really trying to get something out of other people, which are probably agents and managers, and they're in another corner anyways, you know? So for Ariana, I feel like it is a thing where she's like, I need to go out to this party, rather than her being like, all right, I have to be here for X amount of time and then I'm going to leave. That's my hot.
But I don't think it's just that she needs to get something out of it. I do think sometimes when you're like, especially if you're sad alone, you're going to be sad out. And so sometimes it's just like, maybe I'll just get myself to go out and I'll like just feel better once I'm out. But then you kind of know, like, wherever
especially you are. Especially if you're like 21, 22, and you just want to be normal.
Yeah, you just want to do the thing even though you know you don't feel good. But it's like wherever you are, there you are, right? Like, so she knows at home she'll be sad, out she'll be sad. But at least she feels like there's this option of like, well, maybe it'll change if I like interact with people.
Yeah, I don't remember if it was on this podcast or if I was somewhere else where I talked about this. But there was this an article that was always stuck with me, or like a piece of news was, at the height of Brangelina, they rented a very well-tinted Mercedes and just drove around L.A. for 3 hours.
Oh, you did talk about that. Yeah.
And they said, they were like, it was the greatest thing ever. We just drove around L.A. for 3 hours. No one knew it was us. I'm sure they had some car following them for safety. But it was. I was like, wow, imagine a prison. Yeah, yeah. Imagine that level of success that they are like just driving around having a ball. Just going down, probably reminiscing of places like, they're like, yeah, I used to go to Shakey's when I was poor, but that's more for Brad Pitt than Angelina Jolie, obviously. But like just being like, oh yeah, I did this here and I did that there. I mean, they clearly for 3 hours must have really made their way around LA.
They must have gotten from Santa Monica to West Hollywood.
Wow.
Fun LA joke for
you
guys.
I guess, yeah, depending on where their journey started. And I think about that a lot in relation to the song, where I do think I'm like, man, that is, I guess, the one downside, especially if you're like a child actor, someone who got success at a very early age, where you never really did get that in between of kind of, I don't know, being a starving artist, I guess, for lack of a better phrase. Something where you had some form of normalcy, so...
Yeah.
Well, like, the one time Ariana Grande, like, went out in public, she, like, dissed America, so she's not out.
That's right.
She's not allowed out anymore. Right. Her team's like, you cannot leave.
Yeah, they're like, we let you go out for 10 minutes, and this is what you do. And then...
We have a roof, Ariana. You don't need to go for a walk.
Yeah. So...
She did used to go to the Comedy Cellar.
Yeah, she's Pete. Oh no, not her. Justin and Selena were at the when they were together. They were at the Laugh Factory a few times when I was there
in L.A.
Yeah, this was in 2000 when they were at the height of their relationship. It was a period for me. It was like late enough at the beginning of my comedy. Like I'd been doing comedy for a few years already, so luckily. My nerves weren't that jangled upon being there.
Yeah. Rihanna when also, you were performing.
Yeah.
Oh, wow. Judy Greer came to my Public House bar show.
Oh, I love Judy Greer.
At Public House?
Yeah.
I love her.
Yeah.
Was she there to see somebody?
She sat for the whole show. I think she was just drinking and hanging out.
She must just be like, yeah, I'm Judy Greer.
I adored her so much in the new Halloween. I don't know.
Oh, yeah, I didn't watch that, but I love 13 Going on 30.
She's so good.
She's always good.
Yeah. She plays Jamie Lee Curtis's daughter in the movie, and she delivered.
She should be on Big Little Lies.
Oh, my God. Yeah. She.
Detective from out of town.
Yeah. Someone who really comes. Yeah, she'd ask be the good, questions. Like, no-nonsense person to come in. All right. Pre-chorus of the song, she says... I can't fake another smile. I can't fake that like I'm all right. Woo. Okay, I won't do that part. And and I won't say I'm feeling fine. After what I've been through, I can't lie. Fuck a fake smile. Mm-hmm. So it says here, it may be hard for Ariana to smile due to the May 2017 terrorist attack at a concert in Manchester, her failed engagement with Pete Davidson, or the death of her ex-lover, Mac Miller. During the August 2018 Apple Music Beats 1 interview, she broke down crying while speaking about mental health. Now, I couldn't get the sample for that because it has here, like, it had it with a colon, and I was like, wait, where's the quote? And I realized it was a link to the actual clip. But I do remember that interview. It was, I think, like, with Zane Lowe. Yeah. And she talked, like, she did, I remember her crying. And in a way, like, what's funny about it is that people will often question, like, when celebs cry, like, how much of it's a put-on or something. I bought it. I thought completely she was... It was pure sincerity.
Oh, yeah. I'm sure they're constantly stressed out.
Yeah, because...
I mean, she's just, like, really been through it.
Yes. Yeah, these are things that if like, just a failed relationship and then losing someone that was part of your life, especially in your early 20s where, like, romance really has a specific type, this, like, all-or-nothing feeling.
Especially if you're being interviewed by somebody who's really... like cares about your work and is really good at what they do. Their whole job is to get you to open up.
Yes.
Yeah. And so, yeah, I've been in interviews where I've been like, what am I doing? And it's really embarrassing, but I'm not being watched by like a bazillion people on a YouTube stream or whatever.
Yeah, that's true. And it's not like, say, like Fresh Air where it can feel cathartic.
Right.
You know what I mean? Where it's this feeling of like, well, that's a great question. No one's asked me that in that way before. It's like, it's just like, oh, shit, you just hit me with an emotional dagger, you know?
Yeah.
You want to give the next little long?
Sure. Okay. I read the things they write about me, hear what they're saying on the TV. It's crazy. It's getting hard for them to shock me, but every now and then it's shocking. Don't blame me. I know it's the life that I chose, but baby, I'm grateful. I want you to know I'm happy for the love and all of the above. If I'm being honest, Adam, been through way too much. And Genius says, in December 2018, Ariana received some backlash for trying to promote her track Imagine during a Kanye West and Drake feud. Moments after Kanye and Ariana's exchange, her ex-fiancé Pete Davidson posted messages that implied he wanted to commit suicide. Shit.
I forgot about that.
That's right. And he was supposed to be performing in LA, I think. Ariana was called out for appropriating Japanese culture on the cover art and in the music videos for Imagine and Imagine was okay. Well, we'll get to that.
Yeah, that one's
directed by a Japanese artist. And so I wouldn't call that appropriating. In January 2019, Seven Rings. Interestingly, she had to get her tattoo of Japanese letters covered after finding out it said small charcoal grill. instead of the iconic intended phrase, seven rings.
She really has lived a life.
Really? Wow. Truly, this is like...
If one of those things happened in somebody's year, they had like a, it's like a big interesting year.
I want to say that like she does, when the way she says it lyrically, all that stuff, it one of the things that did stick with me there is where she says like, it's kind of hard to shock me, but every now and then it's shocking, which is that like, yeah, this is a person who at this point, that skin's going to be as thick as it's going to get. Like, because she really has been through the ringer in that sense. But there's always going to be a new way to kind of get under someone's skin, I think. That's what I think is part of the, like, one of the great tragedies of comedy, which is that, like, doing stand-up, you can get good at it for 15 years, and there'll still be a way for you to be like, fuck, that set, even if it was good, you'll be like, shit, something about it sucked, and it could eat you up.
Well, or, that happens with being vulnerable, and she's someone who gets so vulnerable. Is like, you grow this tough skin, but then you are vulnerable. Like, even something like the tattoo. And honestly, I think it's funny that they included that, because I wouldn't have connected that to this song, because that's kind of like, you did that.
Yeah.
But that did happen to her, and I think even with that, she probably in her mind is like, I'm going to do something for me. So she's like, guys, I'm sharing this, I'm vulnerable. And then it's like, no, you're wrong. And she was wrong. So then you get shocked because you're like, oh shit, I had this different intention.
But she's
then
also somebody who like exists online. She's like on Twitter, which is quite honestly the worst one in terms of like interface for you to like see horrible things. Like
totally.
If one tweet can like throw off your day and you're getting like a bazillion of them, it's... Yeah, I can't imagine.
And that makes me think, like, also with celebrities who are... Because to me, I always think about, I'm like, God, I hope I get successful enough that I can actually just post on social media to promote stuff. You know, or be like, you know, whatever, engagement for positive reasons outside of my own things. And I never have to look at a fucking at reply again for the rest of my life. And, like, at the same time, it's hard because PR people... aren't always going to be great at their job, and you still have to like kind of get, you also need to be in the real world and know what people are reacting to and how much of it's inflammatory versus the level of discernment that comes with that. And so I think a lot about that with being a pop star, which is that like, I'm sure there are people who are trying to have a real discussion with you here. This is what, by the way, to turn it to Taylor for a second.
She's in a bunker. Well, she is not hearing anything. Yes,
and I think about it, I'm like, you know, there's a certain level of success where certain people just respond to everything as like, well, these are just haters and this is my clap back. And it's like, what are you, I don't even think you know what you're clapping back at other than that it's someone who bought in a negative vibe.
Yeah, she's at that point where when you just call everybody who criticizes you a hater, because there are haters and then there's people who are fans who dislike things.
That's
but she's just like, you're just a hater if you don't love me.
I think anyone worth
it's also like, you're a billionaire, like
why do you care?
Right, that was my next, that's my thought. I'm like, you know what, I think when people cross the 100 million mark, that must be the number, because that's where people become like, they double down on that kind of hubris. Look at tech billionaires. They're like, well, look, obviously I've made this much money doing this thing, so maybe you're wrong. And maybe you're hating me. And so in pop terms, it's a little different because it's more creative arts, but there is still this thing to it where people just have no basis in reality to it.
Yeah.
And I mean, you know.
Well, about Taylor's like most recent album, there are some like amazing songs on that. Like, I love Dress. I love Delicate. I love New Year's Day.
I just gave Reputation another shot.
But like the first three singles on it are like, I'm this girl. Like,
yeah, look what she made me do. Look what
you made me do.
And it's just like, read the room. Trump just got elected. Yeah. Like, you sound like him. And then Me came out and I don't like Me. And then this Pride song came out and you're like, I get why this is a good thing, but it just feels like so like
it's on like corporate the nose
and like you're making a music video with like 90 queer people.
And then at the end she's like, by the way, while we're here, we squashed our beef, Katie and I.
Oh my god.
It's like
in horrific outfits.
Nobody and I'm like, nobody at this
point, the beef that you started, Taylor, yeah, then you have continued.
At this point, we've like, deflated on this whole beef anyway. Like,
above it, move beyond.
Yeah, yes, it wasn't even beef. It was her like not dropping it and then making a music video with a bunch of girls and just being like, "We have bad blood, bitch."
Yeah, yeah.
And then Katie is like, "I guess I'll come back with a swish swish."
Yes, yeah, swish.
You're like, I don't care.
All of it was embarrassing.
Oh yeah, like, swish swish is embarrassing.
It's so embarrassing.
It's weird to think that Katy Perry's music career has been saved by American Idol, perhaps.
Yeah. Yes. Yeah. She because
I mean, Teenage Dream, one of the best songs of all time.
Oh yeah, yeah. That I mean, that album has a lot of good stuff going for it. And then, you know, she had that song, even that song about her like breaking up with her boyfriend who was an addict, "Circle the Drain." Mm. That wasn't even a radio song, but I remember listening to it. I'm like, oh, that's the real deal. And yeah, and I remember after that, what was after Teenage Dream? What was the next album? It wasn't Witness.
I kind of fell off with Katie.
Oh no, it was the album that had Roar and the Juicy J song.
Oh yeah,
Dark
and
Horse.
Then she did all this stuff. Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Oh, Prism, Prism.
After her breakup with Russell.
Yes. And
Roar's great.
What's I like
an anthem.
And Birthday's on that, which I love that song.
I think she's best when she's getting over someone and like finding herself.
I think she's best when there's a Democrat in office and she doesn't have to do politics. Huh. Like it's that Taylor thing.
I think most of Teenage Dream was written by Dr. Luke.
Really? I did not know that.
So.
Ooh.
And so we're in this like weird social phase of our society right now where Dr. Luke is channeling all of his music through a trans pop star.
I was as you said that,
obsessed with Kim Petras and her music is written by
Dr.
an abuser. And yeah, so you're and like, what is this like? It's just a very
it's so weird. It's like,
strange.
Well, it's like Max Landis
like
too was writing a lot of female.
Yeah.
Protagonist that like fought like, and it's like the messages that are in these stories that they're telling, like, and if they connect with someone there is positive value there, but it's just so hard because it's so tainted. And I don't think it's an accident like that abusers do that, and abusers hide behind it, especially like they do one bad thing and they feel guilty and they're like, I'm gonna do 100 good things, but it doesn't take away from the bad thing.
Yeah, totally. Completely. And also with Kim Petras, what's interesting about it, when she's been asked about it, she's like, well, look, the court made their decision. And I'm like, oh, this is, you got to put some nuance into this. I understand you can't be entirely like, you know, you can present this in a different way. It's hard. Yeah. It's hard. But I think that like Kim Petras also is like having her moment. And it is interesting also that most people ultimately are just like, well, she's great. That's, you know what I mean? Like, I feel like a lot of people aren't really, either they don't know or they don't care.
Most consumers are not worrying with the behind the scenes too much. Like, I bet even with all the new, like the Free Cash Show was pretty big.
It's impossible for her to really break in a huge way because of like stigma and discrimination. Yeah. And so I think we know of her as like LA queer people. We're like, she's ever present. She released a song yesterday. She releases songs all the time. I hear all of them, but I don't think it's that way for the rest of America.
Yeah, you're right. You're right. And it's also like, what I think is really fascinating is her stuff's like very, you know, her songs are all about like excess. They're kind of, it's like Spring Breakers in music form a lot of it. Like it, and then she does these interviews. She's like, well, you know, I'm not really like that. I just like to sit at home and eat Cheetos. And I'm like, well, okay.
That's what I hear.
Yeah, that's like, it's always fascinating to me because I'm like, that you're right. I think ultimately it's the stigma that will ever keep her from the true like level up to the level of like say Gaga. But I think that also that part of it, I'm like, oh, I wonder what would happen if she really went like for it in a kind of in, I don't know what, how to even articulate it, but something to the effect of like really, I don't know, making something more complex. Maybe I don't know if that would be a step in the wrong direction.
Music's
right direction.
Popcorn-y.
Yeah. So all right, back to fake. Well, actually that all fits in theme with Fake Smile though. So there was, one of the things that also was included in that little lyrical packet was, after releasing Seven Rings, she was accused of plagiarism by artists like Princess Nokia, who called her out for stealing the concept and flow of her September 2016 track Mine. Media and fans also noted the similarity to 2 Chainz's 2011 track Spend It, which she modified by having him on the remix of Seven Rings. I don't know if you heard that.
Yeah.
I missed it.
And then
see, this is confusing.
And then he had her on his, yeah.
Because this says, Ariana addressed criticism from others on a 2016 track, I Don't Care. But it's like, they're like kind of drawing connections here that, I mean, I don't, like, these are different things that they're kind of convoluting, I think.
I'm trying to find out also, because I don't care
is a great song. No, from Dangerous Woman.
That's from Dangerous Woman, right?
And yeah, it's just, yeah. I don't think it's about, as pre all this stuff, and it's just about, you know, it's more of a generic, I don't care.
I feel like
it's not the same message,
that
I don't think.
That song just felt more like a, like, she's like, all right, we'll put this in between two of our two bops. You, like, it's a good song, but
yeah.
I don't think about it.
I don't
it.
Connect
not,
it
like,
to this more
yeah.
honest, like, point of view of, because I think, and honestly, bringing up all this, the heat that she's gotten into, I'm like, this isn't even what I think of when I think of the song. Like,
yeah.
I do think she could take responsibility for some of the heat she's gotten into regarding plagiarism
yeah,
and appropriation.
You mean this song we're talking about right
no,
now?
No, I mean, well, the Genius is saying, like...
The Genius is bringing up everything.
Oh,
yeah, the Genius is bringing up some of the stuff that I do think she should take responsibility for that I don't think is what she means. She's not saying, like, fuck a fake smile. I'm so sad that you're accusing me of plagiarism. I think she's like, fuck a fake smile. I like have been through trauma. I've lost people in my life. Like, I think it's coming from more of an emotional point and not of a not wanting
oh,
to
totally.
Take responsibility.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And it's kind of convoluted
and
a
also,
bit.
Also, like, what does responsibility mean? Like, is she supposed to be like, I've heard everyone's complaints and I want to address them? I think that, like, once you're at this level, or if you're just an artist and like the majority of people are liking your work and there are always going to be people online who are not going to like it.
Yeah.
And you just have to say, like, you know what? I feel like I've done okay. And onwards I go and ignore
yeah,
it. Like,
it's hard to hear the actual criticisms that might hold water because
and
you're
also
always
fuck
getting
bloggers.
Criticism.
Like,
right.
Yeah.
Who cares about bloggers?
Another thing that's been coming up a lot recently is there were a few like major articles in like the Atlantic and maybe the Atlantic, but about how like, critics are getting, this is the first time in a long time where in mass now, celebrities of any capacity, any kind of creator, are firing back at critics.
Huh.
Like, that used to not be the case very often. It happened
yeah.
very infrequently.
Well,
like,
online criticism, some of it is really good and
yeah.
like very educated on point. And there's a whole swath of it that is,
just
you
angry.
Know, kind of just like lazy, access
yes.
hungry.
Yeah.
I sound bitter.
no, I don't.
Like,
think that, I don't think that's bitter.
No,
I think that's,
or, no,
that's
or just
true,
like people are getting paid
blog.
Like $25 because they're not unionized, and so they're not making any money, and so they're tossing a bunch of articles up at once, and like they don't hold
yeah.
water.
And they're just on Medium.com.
And I think as a celebrity, you are supposed to just be like. Ignore it, like whatever. I have all of this stuff, and I think sometimes on the wrong day, a celebrity reads something and is a human and is just like, "Fuck that."
Well,
yes.
but I just don't
but
think
you
this
have
song
to
is about
stay above it.
Yeah, and how can you? I mean, before that, all I could remember is like, I remember there was it would only be with celebrities who were already known for being that catty about it. And in the last like, and what's funny is with music, it was the rarest. Where those clapbacks kind of happen.
Yeah, because once it's done, you're like, the thing is out. It's like it's not like
yeah.
theater where you read a review and then like you have more live performances. You're just kind of like, I made the album. Like, what do you want?
Do you guys
like,
remember
done.
That movie,
yeah.
The Brown Bunny? The Vincent Gallo movie. It was known because Chloe Sevigny did a oral
she
sex
did a blow
scene.
Job
yeah,
in
she
it.
Did
yeah.
a blow job in it. And when that movie played at Cannes, it was like, it got a huge, it was like a disastrous screening. Just got booed across the
wow.
board. And what was really known was, Roger Ebert was like, this is the worst movie that I've ever seen in the history of this festival, and I've been coming here for 30 plus years.
Oh my God.
And Vincent Gallo was like, you know what, I put a curse, because he said at one point, he goes, I had to have a colonoscopy recently, and that would probably play better on the screen than The Brown Bunny. And Ebert, or I'm sorry, Vincent Gallo was like, you know what, I put a hex on your colon. And it's funny because Ebert later actually said, he goes, I violated one of my own rules, which is that I gave an opinion on a movie before it came out theatrically, and I regret that. So he
yeah.
actually met him halfway on that, and I don't know if they're okay. Vincent Gallo is also insane for people listening who don't know who he is. He's like really an especially crazy type of, I believe, right winger. And yeah, and like he, but anyway, it is interesting. And then later Ebert ended up giving the actual final product that was like, I think, cut down by half an hour, a positive review.
Mm.
Which
so
is,
then he took the notes.
Yeah.
I have a thought about this song that
yes.
To propose. So I know she's obviously the first layer. She's talking about herself, fuck a fake smile. But I also think she's talking about other people. Like the people who to her face are like, fake smile, fake smile. Like, I love you. I love your work. But then they're like, you know, because you look at Twitter and people are saying so much shit behind her back, and the people who are in her circle and, you know, just want stuff out of her. Because she's very much like, she keeps her friends for her closest friends are friends she's had since like childhood for life. Those are the people she trusts. And I do think she probably has trust issues with new people in her life.
Yes.
I went to Northwestern and one of her friends was there. So she would be like around.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So she has lifelong friendships, which leads me to believe like in order to do that, you've got to be a good friend to those people. Like otherwise there's no reason for people to be in your life.
It, yes. I think part of it also is in regards to the song, what you're saying. I think she, part of that fake smile is that she's talking to people who are being very.
Well, that's what I mean. I think she's saying that, like, totally. Fuck your fake smile, too.
Yeah.
Like, fuck your fake smile to my face.
I think so,
You don't know me and you don't know what I've been through.
She's like, I just want to be grumpy at this party. Yeah.
I'm a Cancer sun and moon and it's jumping out. And then, wait, there was one more thing before we go to the, before we rate the song.
literal bullshit.
If I'm mad, I ain't gonna lie about it. That's one of the lyrics. Well, she says, if I'm mad, I ain't gonna lie about it. Ariana openly expresses herself when she's annoyed or angry, like this February 2019 tweet after Mac Miller did not win a Grammy. She tweeted, literal bullshit. Mm-hmm. That was it. Send tweet. In regards to him not winning the Grammy. Who won, by the way? Do we
for
remember?
What category?
It was Mac Miller was nominated for Best Rap Album, and I believe the winner, whoever the winner was, it was like, people were like, maybe it was Post Malone. I'm going to retract that because I don't know who it was, but I remember.
Someone, I think she was just, everyone just understood she was sad because of Mac. It wasn't like someone who didn't deserve it.
Right. People were, but that album was, even prior to his death, that album was like critically acclaimed, and he was always considered kind of like, he never really got his due in that regard. But
it was album of the year was Cardi B, but best rap album, Cardi B.
Oh, that was a great album.
Cardi won. It was a great album. And it wasn't one where you felt like she didn't deserve it. It was just like, we understand you're going through
something. Performance at the Grammys. Oh my God. Another person who's had a huge year.
Same age. They're the same age, Cardi and Ariana.
Oh, really?
I think so.
That makes sense, actually, because they're, 25? Yeah, that's about right.
Cardi has, like, had a child and dropped, like, you know, became the first woman to win Best Rap Album.
Yeah.
You know, had some number ones.
And has, like, a great online presence and doesn't, like, really try to chop people down unless they come for her. Feels like.
Yeah, she's fun online.
She's generally positive. Yeah, like because when she's like real, like it's just because she's like, why do you care about shitting on me? And then she's like, positive vibes. And you're okay.
So something we do at the end of every episode is we rate the song out of 5 high ponytails. Teresa, what do you give this?
I'm going to give it 4. It's one of my favorites, but it's not... I think I have more that I like and I want to save them. But this definitely grew on me. It went from a 3 to 4 for me. I didn't love it when I first heard it. Now I like it a lot. And I like it even more thinking just like literally just thinking of her going like, fuck a fake smile. Like, kind of just like, whatever.
I would also give it 4, but for me, and it also started as about a 3 for me. But again, me giving this a 4, I might speak to the fact that I don't think there's a song that's less than 4 high ponytails on this album. Mm. I could be wrong when maybe we revisit later songs, but I know so far, I think I've given Imagine to Bloodline 5 high ponies each song. Mm-hmm. And we haven't even gotten to Ghostin' yet, which is like,
that's a good one.
That good one. Song devastates me every time. It's so good.
It's 6 high ponier.
It is. Yeah. It transcends the ponies. And so what would be your rating of the song?
I guess I would give it a 3.9 high ponies.
Oh, we've never had someone do outside of a 0 or 5. I like it.
Well, I'm breaking the mold.
Yeah. Please do.
It's like a droopy 4. The fourth one's a little droopy.
Yeah. All right. I think we've covered it, right?
Yeah.
Thank you so much for doing the pod, Brendan.
Thanks for
this was so great. And
lovely
again,
apartment.
Excuse me, and Bonding on Netflix?
Yeah, check it out.
All right.
And where can we find you on the Twitters and Instagrams of the world?
Twitter's my name, Brendan Scannell, and on Instagram, I'm B-Scan, B-S-C-A-N.
All right. Ooh, you got B-Scan. That's, I feel like, one that would have been taken.
I am still trying to get Brendan. Just like, there's a person out there named Brendan, right? If someone has, like, does someone have Teresa?
Probably. I didn't even try. I've like every iteration.
You're Larissa T,
is hard.
Right?
Yeah, I'm Larissa T.
And I'm at Eli Olsberg. And on Instagram, we're pod is a woman, two S's. Yeah. By the way, we keep forgetting to plug this, but we have stickers. You can see the design on our Instagram page. And they're available for $4. That includes shipping.
They're really good.
Yeah, we've had some people have snatched them up already, but we still have some. So please, if you want to get them, just add us on there or DM us, and we will send you the stickers. I think that's everything, right?
Yeah.
Goodbye. All right. We'll see you next week.
Thanks, guys.
Thank you for being here. Bye.
Bye. And I won't say I'm feeling fine. After what I've been through, I can't lie. Ooh. Fuck off.